Beloved Stigmatine confrères, members of the Stigmatine organizations, and any chance wayfarer who might be listening, thank you for listening. I am one of the Stigmatines, Father Joseph Hensey, ordained 61 years ago, offering these thoughts on the Stigmatine charism, meaning the inspirational grace which our canonized founder, St. Gaspar Bertoni, priest of the Diocese of Verona, Italy, received from the, we believe, Holy Spirit. So we began already with this Trinitarian imprint of St. Gaspar in the writing of his constitutions and his spiritual diary. So you've already seen the pondered his personal diary. Then we looked at another conference on God as Father, remembering that in history St. Gaspar had a very difficult experience with his own natural father. And then we went into the concepts of what is meant by the missions in St. Gaspar's writings, the mission, missionary, service, obsequium, and today we are looking at ministry and ministries. So let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, O holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be all worthy of the promises of Christ. And St. Gaspar Bertoni, please pray for us all. So as we continue our reflections in this little course on the Trinitarian imprint and the grace of St. Gaspar Bertoni as a founder of the Congregation of the Sacred Stigmata, we're looking today at his use of the word ministry in the singular and ministries in the plural. So this term also offers an extraordinary insight into Father Bertoni's original charism, or the grace that he received to establish the community as a founder. So a rapid survey of the founder's constitutions would show that both aspects, ministry and ministries, offer a number of apostolates, or manifest a number of proper apostles. So I'll just go through these rather quickly. Incidentally, the English translation of the constitutions may be found in our Stigmatine website. First of all, the word in the singular, for example, Constitution 7, which is part of his Compendium Rude, this introductory preface that contains the basic elements that he would gradually unfold in the hopes that we would live these. And in number 7, we learn, those who excel in learning and piety shall be promoted to the perfection of the priestly ministry, undertaking the apostolic mission. As I've mentioned, one of the great struggles we've had is what exactly is the apostolic mission. There is a majority of members, perhaps, that would maintain this means parish missions, but my own studies of the Jesuit sources, as combined and prepared and edited a bit by St. Gaspar, my view is it's more or less a parallel with the contents of the Jesuit fourth vow. So in Constitution 48, we read, the Stigmatine, absolutely shunning idleness, by assiduous involvement in those things that pertain to the ecclesiastical ministry, to the observance of discipline, and to the obedience due to the superiors. Well, as we've already seen in the formula of St. Ignatius, there are contained the five essential elements. First of all, the end or the purpose, the manner of achieving that, and two vows of obedience, the ordinary corporate vow that every religious takes to obey the constitutions and the legitimate superiors, and a very special apostolic promise to obey the Pope in his choice of ministries. Then there's a question of poverty, and finally the miscellaneous, like there's no stigmatine habit, largely because this was a new form, missionary form, of the religious consecration. So he's talking here about the ecclesiastical ministry, which seems to imply a very broad scope of missions, and the observance of discipline, to live the religious life, and the obedience to the superiors. Then in Constitution 62, the stigmatines should observe due moderation in their studies in order that they may devote themselves for a longer time in mastering the arts and sciences for the service of the church. So again, we have find an emphasis on the singular. Constitution 125. Whenever there is a question of studies which are deemed necessary or helpful, overcoming all fatigue, negligence, or tediousness, they shall apply themselves to them eagerly and wholeheartedly, striving to master them for the glory of God and the greater service of the church, again in the singular. And this is a hint of St. Ignatius's oft-used ad maiorem Dei gloriam, ad maiorem Dei gloriam, always the greater glory of God. Well, here St. Gaspar paraphrases that, for the glory of God and a greater service to the church. Again, in number 163, the ministry of the Word of God under every aspect. And this section is drawn totally from Suarez. So it's a bit broad, this sense of the apostolic mission. Congregation 195, since the chief aspect of charity is to anticipate the mutual rendering of service, honor, and benefit to the church. And then in number 255, besides, the principal end of our congregation is the conversion of souls, and this is greatly realized by conversation. This entire huge final section of the Founders' Constitutions is taken almost word for word from Father Suarez, the main source of St. Gaspar's actual composition. So this conversing means evangelical conversations, which, with St. Ignatius, St. Gaspar considered as part and parcel of the apostolic mission. It's a mission to live together, to build community, to serve the church. Well, then we'll take a brief look at the same word in the plural, number 26. Those who are accepted to do the work of the spiritual ministries need to have fitness of mind, and then this goes on. In number 57, therefore, there shall be individuals who specialize in one or another of these branches of knowledge for a longer time and with greater diligence. That is of the utmost importance for the various services we must render to the church according to the diversity and times and circumstances. And this is taken verbatim again from Suarez. Number 158. Only priests are to be admitted to the profession, in quotes, meaning the so-called solemn profession, which in later years the Holy See did not accept this juridical concept. But the reality is still there. These people who have a special grasp of the theology and also experience as stigmatines. So only priests, because it's a clerical congregation, whereas many monastic orders like the Franciscans, they are ordo fratrum minorum, the brothers, the lesser brothers. So only priests are to be admitted to this supreme grade. For the principal government of the congregation, this pertains to the graduate fathers, meaning those who had the grade of apostolic missionary. To them also belong the more important ministries, and these always require priestly dignity. It's sacramental, it's spiritual counseling for the in the context of the confessional. And then 162. The administration of the sacraments, especially of penance and Holy Eucharist, beseeching God, even by the celebration of Holy Masses, to grant the fruit of these missions of preaching and confessions and the many other forms that we have. Number 182. This is where we get the famous Euntes Docete, go forward and teach, which is taken from Matthew 28. And this is after the resurrection when the apostles are receiving their missionary mandate. Euntes Docete, go forward because we are a missionary order, and to teach, not in the sense of the Christian brothers or others for whom teaching is the only, this would really probably mean proclaim or evangelize. So teach not only by preaching, by giving, but by also by giving retreats, by specialized lectures on the truths which are useful and necessary to know for the attainment of eternal life, but also by explaining the rudiments of faith and morals, especially to the uneducated and to children. These would be the rudibus. They're not rude. They're simply not had the gift or benefit of education. And this is to be done in public and private catechetical instructions and in the oratory. So all of this is the duty of these graduate fathers. All of this is highly beneficial to the church and is highly recommended to our men. Number 185, and this is the most important constitution as far as I can see, and I think I'm in line here with the great Sigmatine historian Father Joseph Stefella. The end or purpose of our congregation is to serve the church by means of the various and proper ministries of its vocation under the direction of the bishops. And with this program, we do not propose to expose ourselves to any dangers, or to go to this or that place, or to perform this or that action of our own will, but to follow the direction of the Orthodox bishop placed by the Holy Spirit over the church. This, too, is taken almost verbatim from Suarez. And the image here is a catechesis of Jesus in abandoned to his Father, being sent by the Father to redeem the world under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So number 262, again, since the end or purpose of the congregation is the salvation of souls, consequently the congregation is to assume ministries appropriated to this end. Therefore, religious should primarily and zealously work for the spiritual benefit of their confreres, before that of non-members, because charity is well ordered with St. Thomas. It begins at home. And this is taken also from Suarez. So we can see this first Trinitarian term, mission or missionary, indicates a great insight of St. Caspar into his charism, or what he wanted the community to live, and the spirituality he wanted to share. Every baptized person has a mission, is consecrated to make of his or her body an oblation to the infinite mercy of God, as we read in Romans 12:1. Well, the next Trinitarian word, if we could say that, I heard it said once that we are persons because God is, and we are made to his image and likeness. So the word person also seems to be, in St. Gaspar's mind, a Trinitarian term, and he has a very unusual assessment of this. So in his original constitutions, he manifests a sublime concept of fraternal caring and sharing. Everybody is to have the same, and great care is meant for those who are struggling in any way, spiritually, physically, old age, or illness. So with this broad diversity of ecclesial services and specialization, the differences in intellectual preparation and apostolic work, this would in no way lessen the commitment to the apostolic mission. As was noted above, this is particularly evident in Part 10 of the original constitutions, entitled The Interior Disposition of the Soul, with a distinctly Trinitarian imprint. As the love of God and Christ increases through the Holy Spirit, through participation in the Eucharist, contemplating the Word of God. In all of this, each confrere is challenged to recognize better the developing likeness of God in one's fellow stigmatines, noticing gifts and virtues of others depicted within them by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the great artist of creation, and people are given extraordinary gifts and rather than be challenging each other for supremacy or importance, to recognize the gifts that others may have and to thank Almighty God that they are on our side working for the salvation of God's holy people. This idea of intense fraternal love is present in two very special categories of persons that Father Bertone has more amply described in his rule, guests and the sick. The old monastic spirituality and the tender care, and what was so that the sick would no longer yearn for the care of their mothers. Mm. This is the job of the abbot in the Benedictine world. He was father and also mother. And incidentally, this shows us why St. Caspar insisted so much on rather lengthy recreations. He really wanted us to share the expertise, whatever we might have achieved by specialization, but also to receive from others. In this, the brothers and the priests were all involved in this aspect of the apostolic mission without any distinction of canonical grade. Anyway, first of all, guests. Hospitality is a theme that comes to the Stigmatine rule from the monastic tradition, as is found in Suarez's commentary on De Religione Societatis Jesu, which means concerning the religious life of the society of Jesus. This has ancient biblical roots and is most highly recommended as a basic Christian value. Father Bertone saw unity all the more necessary, especially for a community with such a varied apostolic mission, and maybe we could say at the moment of great ecclesial division or difficulties or tension or trials. And as we'll see, his own family was divided. Verona was divided by the River Adige, and then the awful struggles for the church in the post-Napoleonic times. So Father Bertone dedicates Chapter 6 under the positive means of Part 10 for charity among the members in the matter of hospitality toward their confreres. These extensive constitutions can be found especially word for word in Suarez. While there was a distinction in membership, with the professed being those elevated to the supreme grade of solemn vows and the apostolic missionary, then there were the spiritual coadjutors, most priests with simple vows, and the brothers. In the matter of hospitality, these distinctions don't hold. Everybody is invited to this total openness to this concept. Number 245. This is to be extended to all the confreres without any distinction of family or country, without respect of persons or limitation of any kind. Great charity is to be shown towards all, whether they are professed members, whether they're novices, whether they're sick or well, whether they're known or unknown. We are living in an age of severe racism and sexism and ethnic cleansing and all these terrible things. So we hope that the little Stigmatine charism could be like a leaven in this time of such division. I think presently of the United States from where I am, and there is a really concerning threat of division. Or the famous American dream seems not to have materialized, or certainly is not present in the lives of so many. So this rule of St. Caspar is almost Benedictine in its orientation. However, it is found in Suarez's tract from the book, where he treats of the positive and spiritual means leading to the perfection of the members in their treatment of their fellow human beings, especially those with whom they live. Father Bertone copied this constitution word for word from Suarez. So the level of hospitality must be that of truly distinguished families toward their dear friends or relatives. There must be this sense of welcome that you can go to any Stigmatine house and be welcomed as a brother. And with some experience of Jesuits in other lands, I did notice that a man can just show up. Maybe he wrote beforehand, and we have a wonderful province in Thailand. In my early years in the 1970s on the General Council, we went over there, part of the establishment of this province. and had to stay the first night in a Jesuit home, a dwelling, on what they called Embassy Row. We were guests on the Jesuit house in Embassy Row in Thailand. The evening recreation was amazing. You would find missionaries from Alaska and the Archbishop of Istanbul and all kinds of extraordinary people sitting down and joining in the very friendly conversation. It was a delight to see everybody trying to talk to each other in different languages. It was a marvelous display for me of what the universality of the church means. However, then in number 246, let this charity, though, first be shown to all by receiving them with every external manifestation of special friendship, which are usually employed, according to the custom of the place, by distinguished persons towards their friends and even towards their own kindred, like welcoming the nobility. A duke was always very welcome in a prince's home. Well, there's no dukes and princes among us. We go by that 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at yourselves. Were you from important families? Were you well-known all over the world? Anyway, once again, this is a verbatim quote from Suarez, where he treats of the hospitality that is to be extended. This is followed by what became the old aspirant's rule of the stigmatines, known as Rule 122, the Rule of Touch. Being young, unruly lads, the rule was, you know, we'd be pushing each other away or pushing each other out or being too rough in sports and so on. And it was severely lived. And I always believed that the main purpose of it was charity, and not to hurt anybody or not. Throughout this entire section of both the commentary of Suarez and the relatively lengthy text that St. Gaspar copied very carefully, there is much emphasis on the harmony of goals, uniformity of ideals, and a wide diversity of missions. At the same time, there is always a great and genuine appreciation for individual personalities and their gifts. In discussing the matter of poverty in receiving guests, on the one hand, nothing should be spared, yet from a very practical bent of mind, much consideration has to be given for the differing needs of guests. And this Father Bertone follows St. Basil, which was quoted, of course, by Suarez. And that's in number 249. St. Basil concludes, sufficiency varies, however, according to the physical condition and present needs. Remarkable as it may sound, both St. Ignatius and St. Gaspar had special attention given to those who needed more to eat or to sleep more. A great compassion. Some people have different needs, consume energy, and so on. Anyway, one, because of his work, requires more substantial food and even a larger amount. Another needs a lighter and more digestible diet. The foods that are served should be offered to everyone and be such that they might be nourishing and had at a good price. At table, cleanliness should be observed, even a certain elegance, but all being such that it does not exceed the limits of our means. This was meant to be a gentleman's table, not nobility, not rich bankers or any of these. This was just ordinary family in which everybody was a prince. So this next category, of course, is the sick. There was a great deal of interest of St. Gaspar from an experiential level. Remember, he was practically an invalid for 40 years. He spent many, many hours alone in his room, on his poltrona, his sitting chair or resting chair or whatever, or his bed. So he understood the loneliness of long cures or the loneliness of an extended old age. So Father Bertone dedicates chapter 5 of his part 10 to the ill and the infirm, and the special care they need and have a right to. In this chapter, the authorities who are brought to the fore are the founders of ancient monasticism and forms of common consecrated life, such as Basil, in both his shorter and longer rules. One of them is called Fusius, meaning it was longer. Saint Benedict, Pacomius, Lupus, and the rule for monks, as well as Augustine, Jerome, and Bonaventure. All of these were involved in community consecrated living. There are 9 constitutions here. This is the longest single chapter of Part 10, which speaks of charity. And practically every number can be found in Suarez word for word, with few exceptions. I emphasize this point of Suarez not to be annoying, but so much of the original constitutions are taken verbatim. There are some adaptations that give St. Cosmas' rule its own individuality. Anyway, if we could summarize here, the central rule of this chapter, of course, is that the infirm are to be thought of as God's brothers, and that all serve them as they would serve Christ himself would be served. One of the most unusual numbers is this one, number 240. Lupus, in his rule for monks, says, if someone is taken sick, let him be transferred to a larger place, and so comforted by the assistance of the older brethren, that he feel no desire for the comforts of the city, nor for maternal affection. This is most unusual, and it brings to mind, way back in 1970, I was one of the American delegates of the General Chapter, extraordinary General Chapter, and was invited to go over a little early. No, it was earlier than, it was 1967, and I got influenza up in Verona. At that time, the Stigmatine house in Verona was, of course, it was a big monastery in the outskirts of the city where they had the formation house and where there were many, many young men and a house for the few retired purple people there were. Well, I went up there with the Father Forecchia. He and I were the delegates, and we had to get back to Rome. And I came down with the flu, a severe case of the flu. I could never figure out the Italian thermometers, but I think my fever was 102 or 103. I was really sick. No matter when I woke up, there was a father sitting there to talk to me, and because he knew I was just over from America. And it was remarkable. It was remarkable. And it seemed to be an automatic practice. Another instance that was also quite humorous was Brother Egidio again, and an American brilliant Stigmatine came over to work on the same thing, and he too came down with the flu, and he was very sick. So Brother Egidio went in and tried to console him. He says, oh, Father, I'm so sorry to see you reduced to these extremes. Oh, am I dying? I should get the sacrament. Poor Egidio, for his act of charity, got bawled out for disturbing the ill. But the idea was always there. Now, I remember another time, I was sick a lot over there, the Father General brought my supper. He's now an archbishop in Brazil. And it was just the way it was, and there was no distinction and no difference of any of these things. So it was a wonderful value. So after looking at these aspects, the next reflection will be on the word community, this often used and frequently misunderstood value of religious life, a consecrated fraternity that lives together, sharing the mercy of God, remembering that charity begins at home. With this, I'll end now and thank you for listening. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses Mary and Joseph, that we may be worthy of the promises of Christ. And St. Gaspar of Atone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.